Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Ksubas Daf Samech Ches. We are holding on Daf Samech Zayin Amud Beis. We are at Mar Ukva Havya Anya Bishavavuse on the bottom, toward the bottom of Daf Samech Zayin Amud Beis. This year is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children and Lizecher Nishmas, his mother Golda Basimcha, the Neshama should have an Aliyah. Today what we're going to discuss is first we're going to tell a few more stories relating to Tzedakah and people who try to give Tzedakah, Baseser, and whether an ani has to sell his clothing or his items, his kalim, in order to be able to not have to take tzedakah, and people who are deceitful in terms of collecting tzedakah, that they pretend the need is greater than it actually is, and what our attitude toward them is. Then the Mishnah on Amud Aleph, about halfway down, is going to discuss how much of a nedunya is given to a yesoma from her father's estate, meaning the father's no longer alive, so he can't decide to give in the dunya. So we have to give from the estate, but we don't know what. So is it a percentage? Is it based on figuring out what he would have wanted to do? So Shmuel is going to be mechadish in the Gemara that we assess what the father would have given if he were alive. And the Gemara is going to have a couple of challenges to Shmuel. Then the Gemara is going to talk about that a shita that we sometimes assess what the father would give, and sometimes we give a fixed percentage. But the question is, what's the sometimes and the sometimes? When would you make an assessment of what we think the father would want to give? And when would we give a fixed percentage? And then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to talk about if a girl becomes a bogeres, or she had nisuin and at that time she was given a smaller nedunya than she was entitled to, can she come back later and claim the full nedunya afterwards? And then at the very end of the daf, we're going to have three possibilities of what Rebbe means when Rebbe makes this statement and he says that Parnasa is not like Tanai Ksuba. So what does he mean when he says that? In what way is Parnasa, meaning the Nadunya that we give a girl, not the same as a Tanai Ksuba, as all of the other Tanai Ksuba? So we're going to have three possibilities, but we're going to reject two of them and we'll finally accept one of them. So let's begin on Daf Samech Zayin Amud Beis at Marukva Havya Anya Bishavavuse. So where is it? So we're right after Yal Yamnei Chaver Rabim from Tamar. So Mar Ukva, last run line is Mar. First run on the next line is Ukva, about 7-8 lines from the end of the page. So Mar Ukva Avi Anya B'Shavuse. Mar Ukva had an ani in his neighborhood. Davaragil L'Shturi Le'Abra Me'azuzi Kol Mele Yom Dikipure. He used to send him 400 zuz every Erev Yom HaKippurim. Why Dafka would he send him on Erev Yom HaKippurim? So the Marsha says, very simply, because that's a good time to amass Zuchuyah. A person wants to get as many zechuyos as he can on Erev Yom Kippur. So that's a wonderful time to give tzedakah. Plus, says the Marsha, people need a lot of money then because there's a chiv su'udah on Erev Yom Kippur. So they're going to need money for their su'udah. In the Iyun Yaakov, he says that it was dafka 400 zuz because the number 400 is represented by the letter Taf, and Taf Tammuz, Taf Tichya. So the letter Taf represents Tammuz and Tichya, and that may make the difference between life and death on Yom HaKippurim. So anyway, Yom Echad, one day, it was Erev Yom Kippur, Shadrin Ne'alei Biad Brei. Mar Ukva couldn't make it himself to deliver the money, so he sent his son to deliver the money. So Asa Amrle, when the son came back from the Shlichus, he said, Lo Tzarech, this guy that you're giving to, he doesn't need the money. Amr Maichaz, he say, why, what did you see that made you believe that he doesn't need the money? He said, Chazay, to come Zalt Le'yayin Yashan, I saw that he was drinking fine wine. So obviously, if he's able to afford such luxuries, he doesn't need the money. Amar Mefanki Kulehai. Marukva said he's such a mafunuk that he can only drink fine wine. I finu v'shadrin in L.A. So he doubled the money and then sent it back with double the money because he realized that Demach Sarasha Yechsolo for such a person who's such a mafunuk is greater than he otherwise would have thought it was. The Lechar is somewhat difficult because the halacha is that if a person has 200 zuz, he's not allowed to take from tzedakah. So he used to send him 400 zuz every Mele Yom Kippur. He already sent him 400 zuz, so he knows the guy already has 400 zuz, so it's not, he shouldn't be allowed to take from tzedakah. So then Yaakov says, yeah, that was just a matana, meaning an echinami. It's not tzedakah anymore, but now he gave it to him as a matana, whereas other achronim, the Afla, the Maram Shif, say that no, Aifinu means that the son didn't deliver it. The son got to the door, he saw through the window the guy is drinking fine wine, he said, I'm not giving him 400 zuz. So he went back to the father, and then so the guy still didn't have anything. So when a person has less than 200 zuz, you can give him as much as you want, and it's still tzedakah. So that's when he was kofel, that's when he gave twice as much to deliver. Kikanicha nafshe, when Marukva was dying, Amar Aisili Chushbenai did tzedakah. He asked to have his ledger, his tzedakah ledger brought to him. Ashkech Tavaksivbe, Shivas Alfei Dinari Sianki. They went through his philanthropy throughout his life, and they found that he had given 7,000 dinarim from a place called Sina for tzedakah, which was a lot of money. So Amar Zavdai Kalili V'Urcha Rechikta. He said, I have very few, very light suitcases for a very long journey, meaning I need a little more. I need to pack up a little more, a few more zechuyos for before my death. So Kam Bizbizei L'Palgei Mamonei. So he decided to give away half of his estate, half of his money to tzedakah. Frak the Gemara, Heichi Yavid Achi, how could he do such a thing to give half of his money to tzedakah? Vam Rabbi Loi Bu'usha Eskinu Amavazveiz Al Yivazveiz Yosem Yichomesh. But didn't we learn that there were Masakin in Usha that you're not allowed to give more than 20% of your money to tzedakah? Says Gemara, Hani Michayim, that's only if you're going to continue to live. Shema Yeri Min Chasav, because the whole concern is Shema Ye'oni, that the person might become poor via tzedakah lebrios, and then he's going to have to collect tzedakah himself. But Avalach Misa Leslan Ba, if he's dying anyway, so he's not going to become poor, he's not going to need the money, then there's not going to be a problem of Bu'usha Yiskinu. So that's a question of so that is a very clear exception to the rule of Amvazi Zali Vazi Zosim Chomesh. Question is, do we have other exceptions to the rule? The Gemara in Sukkah, the Mishnah in Sukkah, says that Ram Gamliel bought an esrog for Elev Zuz. So the Rosh writes that when they say it's Elev Zuz, it's a Guzmak, because the Chamur Mesakin Hamivazveiz Ali Vazveiz Yosem Chomesh. So there's no way he would have spent Elev Zuz on an esrog. So the Bach writes, the Rosh doesn't mean to say that Ram Gamliel didn't spend Elev Zuz on an esrog. He means to say that it was a guzma of Miloshon Shevach and a Chiddush, that the Rosh is saying that people typically don't have to spend that kind of money on a mitzvah overes. But we're saying, not that Ram Gamliel didn't do it, Ram Gamliel did it, but that's what was so unusual about Ram Gamliel. The Divrei Shaul just points out, Mar Ukva was a, I'm sorry, so the assumption seems to be that it was Yosem Michomish Nechasav, even though Rabbi Gamliel was a Nasi, and Lechora, he was someone who was, he didn't have to worry about becoming poor, because the Tzibor has a responsibility to support him. So someone who doesn't have to worry about becoming poor, Lechora is just like Mar Ukva, where you don't have to worry about becoming poor if a person is dying, and therefore would be another exception, another potential exception. Another mice, Rabbi Abba Avetzair Zuzi Besudre, he used to wrap money in a cloth, v'shani leila achorei, and hold it in a bag behind, over his shoulder, behind his back. And he would leave like his knapsack open, full of money, and walk around so people could come and just pull from behind and pull money out of his knapsack. But he would still sort of keep an eye out if there were any people that shouldn't be taking, that were going and taking the money. And that's in the Rambam, Minuchas Matnas Aniyim, that's not the highest level of tzedakah, meaning the highest level of tzedakah is when neither person knows who the other person is, meaning not only do you not know who you're giving to, the person receiving doesn't know who they're receiving from. This is also a very high level of tzedakah, that he didn't know who he was giving to, but the people receiving knew who they were receiving from. Rabbi Chanina, Avahu Anya Davaragel Ishturi Le Arba Zuze Kol Mali Shabbata. He had a certain ani that he would send. Rabbi Chanina would send 400 zuz every Erev Shabbos. So Yom Echad, or 4 zuz rather, every Erev Shabbos. Yom Echad, one Erev Shabbos, Shadrinina Le Biad Bitu, his wife went to make the delivery of the money. Asai, she came came back from the house of this ani, Amalei lo tzarech. She said to Rabbi Chanina, her husband, he doesn't need it anymore. My chazis, why? What did you see that made you think that he doesn't need the money? So Shami Devakamile, I heard that the people in his house were saying to him, Bame ata soed, what do you want? Which of our kelim do you want to use this Shabbos? B'tlei kesef or b'tlei zahav? Would you like to use the kesef kelim or the zahav kelim? This Shabbos. So Amar Haynu Damar Ablazer Bov Nachzik Tov LeRamayin. So Rabbi Chanina says, okay, it's a good thing that we have Ramayin. It's a good thing that we have dishonest people. Shel Malei Hain Hayinu Chotin B'chol Yom. If not for the dishonest people that were collecting tzedakah unscrupulously, then we would be sinners every day. Shenemar, because the pasuk says, "V'kara lecha l'Hashem v'yibacha chet." And a person who doesn't give tzedakah to an ani who requests the tzedakah is considered a chote. So our only excuse is that there are some people that don't really deserve tzedakah and are asking for tzedakah. That's our only excuse to ever turn down an ani. So we need that. We need that help of the fact that Ramayim exists. So Tosfos points out that there seems to be a discrepancy between the two stories, because in the previous story, when someone seemed to have very high standards of living, so Marukva said, oh, he has such high standards of living, we need to double the amount that we're giving him. And now Rabbi Chanina, when he has such a high standard of living, says, okay, so he's a lowlife, he's a Ramayi, he's someone who's being dishonest. So Tosfos suggests that it could be that certain things it's shaykh to be a mufunuk about, and other things it's not shaykh to be a mufunuk about. Meaning, it could be that yayin yashan, basar shamin, the type of food that a person eats, that a person gets used to, that goes into one's body. But when you're dealing with the type of kalim that he's going to use at his table, that people aren't such a mufunuk about. There's no such thing as being a mufunuk. So it's just clearly that the person was an ashir of a certain degree. Okay, so once we're on the topic of Ramayim, so the Gemara is going to talk a little bit about that. First we talk about someone who turns down, who refuses to give tzedakah. Anyone who hides his eyes from tzedakah, it's as if he's over avodah zara. It says when it comes to tzedakah that and the pasuk goes on to say, right, the pasuk talks about someone who, when an evyon reaches out, that you don't give him anything. By avodah zara, it says in the parsha of Yerik Dachas, yotzu anashim bnei Belial, that same phrase bnei Belial, to describe the anshei Yerik Dachas. So malal on avodah chavim, just like by the Yerni Dachas, the word Beliyal was referring to Avodah Zarah, Saf Kan, when it comes to Tzedakah as well, where the Pasuk calls someone who hides his eyes from Tzedakah a Beliyal, it means Avodah Chavim, means that it's Ki'ilu, he's in Oved Avodah Zarah. So once the Gemara is talking about taking tzedakah from people who don't need tzedakah, taking tzedakah, so we have a brisa about that. Tan Rabbanan, Mesame Yaseino, Hamatzbe Es Bitno, Hamepeach Es Shoko. If a person pretends to be disabled, he pretends to have some sort of physical disability, in order that people should have rachmanis, that they're going to give him tzedakah, even if he's poor, even if he needs tzedakah, but he pretends to be something that he's not, in order that people should have extra rachmanis, Eino Nifter Min Olam Atshiyavali Dei. He's not going to be niftim in the olam until he suffers from that disability. So if he pretends to be unable to walk, by the time he dies, he's going to be unable to walk. A person shouldn't bring that upon himself. So the Tos San Sheshem says an interesting idea. He says this is based on the fact that Las Lavo, when there's going to be a Tchias HaMesim, people are initially going to come back with all of their disabilities, and then there's going to be refuah, because otherwise no one is going to recognize them. The only way to recognize them, you remember, oh, that was the fellow that walked with a limp, that was the fellow that had this problem, that problem. So then, afterwards, there's going to be a refuah. But a person who makes himself into a balmum and wasn't a balmum, by tchias ha-mesin, he's going to come back what he really is. He's not a balmum. No one's going to recognize him. So there has to be, that's why the expression is, eino nifter min olam atshiyav l'deikach. By the time he dies, he's going to be in such a position so that when he has a tchias ha-mesin, we'll be able to to recognize him. So so it has to be someone who is already who everyone is recognizing as having that disability. So mekabel tzedakah ve'in tzarich l'kach sofa in nifter min olam ad she'yavli de'kach. Someone who's mekabel tzedakah and he doesn't need the tzedakah is also in a nifter min olam without needing the tzedakah. Meaning, if he pretends to be poor and he's not really poor, he's going to be poor. Tanan hasam, we have a mishnah maseches peah that if a person has masayim zuz, he's not allowed to take leket shechah peah, the matnas aniyim. Let's say a person does not have masayim zuz, but he has possessions that if he were to sell, they'd be worth masayim zuz. We do not require him to sell his items, his house, or the things that he has in his house to have Masayim Zuz so that he won't have to take Lekat Shechol Peah. Right now he doesn't have Masayim Zuz of liquid cash, he's allowed to take Lekat Shechol Peah. So asking Mar Velo, is that true? He doesn't have to sell his Klei Tashmisho in order to avoid having to take Tzedakah or Lekat Shechol Peah? Vatanya, didn't we learn in a Braisa, Hayimishtabish B'Klizav? If you have a person who was wealthy and had clay zav, and then his business took a turn for the worse. So the halach is before he goes collecting tzedakah, he should sell the clay zav, yishtamish b'klei kesef, and downgrade to clay kesef, so that he'll have some money. B'klei kesef, if he's accustomed to using clay kesef, so yishtamish b'klei nechoshes, sell your clay kesef, and downgrade to clay nechoshes, so that you won't have to take tzedakah. So don't you see clearly from there, from this brisa, that a person does have to sell Klei Tashmisho in order to avoid giving tzedakah? How come the Mishnah in Peah says that a person does not have to sell Klei Tashmisho in order to avoid getting Leket Shechol Peah? Some Rav said, "Lo Kasha, that's not a stira. Ha, b'mito shulchan. Ha, b'kosu sukaros." The Braisa that says that you do have to sell, that's so about a mito shulchan, where a person is not so makbid about exactly what type of mito, what type of shulchan he uses. Whereas the Mishnah says you don't have to sell and you can keep your kalim, that's so about kosu sukaros, where a person is very makbid about using particular types of plates and glasses and things like that. So ask the Gemara, well, Maishna kol sukaros delo, damar mi isili. Well, after all, why does he not have to sell his glassware and his cutlery and things like that? Because he says, disgusting to me to use lower level things. Mita v'shulchanami, amar lo mekabli levai. When it comes to a mita v'shulchan, can't he say the same thing? That I need my comfortable bed, I'm used to a certain size bed, I'm going to downgrade to a smaller size bed, I'm used to a certain type of pillow and blanket. So can't he have the same taina? So answers Gemara a different teretz. Again, we're answering a stira between the Mishnah and the Braisa. That the Mishnah, Maseches Peah, said you don't have to sell your items in order to not collect Lechet Shechol Peah, and yet the Braisa says you do have to sell your items in order not to take tzedakah. So I'm Rav Brei D'Rabba b'machrisha d'kaspa. Now we're talking about a machrisha d'kaspa, which is machlok Rishonim, what it means. Most Rishonim understand it means some type of kli that they would bring to the Beis HaMerchatz to scrub their skin with. So he had a silver brush that he would use to scrub with at the Beis HaMerchatz. So you don't need a silver brush. You could do with a wooden brush or whatever, something else that would do the same job. So that, for sure, he would have to sell. But the Mishnah is talking about the other Klei Tashmish that would be difficult for him to make the adjustment, and that he would not have to sell. Rav Papa Amar, Lo Kasha, a third answer. Kan Kodem Shevel De Giboy, the Mishnah that says that you don't have to, that he doesn't have to sell, is talking before Beis Din came to collect from him, meaning a person who didn't have Masayim Zuz, even if he has Klei Tashmish, does not have to sell, and he's allowed to take Leket Shech. But Kan La'achar Shevel Deki, but the Braisa says that he does have to sell, is talking about a guy who had Masayim Zuz, pretended not to, collected tzedakah, collected Leket Shechol Peah. Beis Din found out about it, so Beis Din's coming to get reimbursed. He wasn't allowed to take this money at the time that he took it, so Beis Din's gonna take the money away from him. But by the time Beis Din gets there, he doesn't have anything. He doesn't have any money left. So now we say, okay, so now you sell your clay zav, your clay kesef. Now you're gonna have to downgrade your kalim, and you're gonna have to sell your kalim because you were dishonest in the first place. But if a person was honest about it in the first place, he had less than Masayim Zuz, and he had a lot of fancy kalim, so that's what the Mishnah says. He doesn't have to sell the fancy kalim he's allowed to take. It's only if he was dishonest, he had Masayim Zuz, and he took, in order to pay it back, we're going to require that he takes the kalim. That's how Rashi understands the chilik. Rabbeinu Tam understands, kan kodem givoy means that he didn't take from that which they collected tzedakah for, he's only taking from hefker, leket shechol peah, and therefore we're not going to require him to sell. La'achar givoy means means that the collection is from tzedakah, which is a totally different answer. That it's really about what kind of funds that are designated for aniyim is he taking. Leket shechopeya, there was no collection. Leket shechopeya are matnas aniyim that are there and they are hefker. So the exactly what criteria he has to meet to receive leket shechopeya is not the same as the criteria that he has to meet in order to receive funds from tzedakah that are collected, dafka collected from people to give tzedakah. So in order to take leket shechopeya, he doesn't have to sell his items. And that's exactly what the Mishnah Maseches Peah was talking about. It was talking about leket shechopeya, whereas the Braisa was talking about collecting tzedakah. So those are the, how many answers do we have in the end? We first suggested that the chilek was between the mita v'shulchan versus kosel sukaros. Then we suggested that maybe only machrisha de kaspa a person would have to sell. And then we had the chilek between kodem shabali de givoy and lachas shabali de givoy, but two interpretations of Rishonim of what exactly that chilek actually means. Okay, new Mishnah now. Yisama shis yasi imo achem idaita. If Yisama was married off by her mother or her brother, midaita, she was a willing participant, and she agreed to the amount of money that they gave for the nedunya. V'kasula b'meo b'chamishim zuz, they were mechayiv in the ksuba to bring in as a nedunya 100 or 50 zuz, and not the amount that the chum were misakin. The chum were misakin that it's supposed to be 10% of the father's estate, but she had agreed to this more nominal amount. So yichali mishatagdi lahotzi miyadon masharoi li nasin la. When she gets older, when she becomes a gedola, she can go back and claim, you know, you really cheated me. You took advantage of a little kid. I really deserve a lot more, and I should get 10%. She can come back and make such a claim later on. Rabbi Yudo Mer Imhesi Asabasa Rishon. Rabbi Yudo says, you know, exactly how much we give to her should really depend on how much the father would have given to her. So if the father, before he died, had married off one of the older daughters, and we know exactly what he gave his nedunya, Yinasin L'Shniya Kederek Shinasin L'Rishona, you give to the next daughter the same thing that you gave to the first daughter. That's how Rashi writes, and he adds that whether the father gave to the first daughter more than Isur Nechasim, or whether he gave less than Isur Nechasim, meaning you measure, you assess his generosity. Maybe he was super generous, good, so give more. Maybe he was less generous, so give less. Other Rishonim are not sure about that. They say that Rabbi Yehuda is only saying that when it's less than Isur Nechasim, that if he gave 15% to the first daughter, does not necessarily mean you give 15% to the second daughter. It's still just 10% to the second daughter. But if to the first daughter he went cheap and he only gave 4% to the first daughter, so you only give 4% to the second daughter as well. The Chum Momrim, and the Chum say, no, you can't give the second daughter exactly what you gave the first daughter. Pam Shadim Ani Vahashir, Oh Ha'ashir Vahani. His financial condition might have changed. Maybe he was in a certain position at an earlier stage and he was in a different position later on. So instead, we're shamanas and nechasim of the father, how much they're worth, and we give her based on the nechasim that he has, meaning X percentage, 10% of the nechasim. We cannot, we have to make that assessment based on, or not 10%, but based on what people of similar wealth would give to their daughters, rather than making an assessment based on what he himself had given to his daughter. So Amar Shmuel leParnasa Shaman Ba'av. Shmuel says, I have a chiddush. When it comes to giving a yesoma her nedunya, you have to assess what the father would have wanted to give for the nedunya. If he was a very generous person, so give a lot. And if he was a very stingy person, don't give so much. So Meisvei, the Gemara challenges Shmuel, Habanos Nizonos Umisparnasos Minichse Avien. The daughters who are yesomos get mizonos and parnasa. Parnasa typically means the nedunya from their father's estate. So Ketzad, how do we assess that? Ein Omrim Ilu Avia Kayim Kach V'Kachay. We don't say, oh, let's see if the father was a generous or a stingy person, and if he were alive, what would he give? So instead, we assess the nechasim of the father, and we give based on someone of that wealth should be giving. So my love, parnas sabal, isn't this talking about the nedunya? And isn't this a kasha on Shmuel? Because Shmuel said, shaman ba'av, we assess him as an individual, how generous, how how stingy. And yet over here we have in the Braisa, not so, that we don't assess the father, we assess the amount of wealth that he had. What do people of equal wealth give to their daughters? When it says parnasa in the Braisa, it's not talking about the nedunya. It's talking about the fact that the brothers have to be mefarnes their sister before she gets married. But in a chinami, the parnasa of the nedunya, maybe we do assess whether the father is stingy or generous, like Shmuel had said. So ask the Gemara, hanizonos umisparnasos katani. But it says nizonos umisparnasos. So my love, achas parnasa bal vach parnasas atzma. Doesn't the word nizonos mean parnasas atzma? So how can you say that that the whole brisa was talking about parnasas atzma, just the support that they give her before she gets married? It used two terms. It said nizonos, that's the support they give her before she gets married, and said umafarnasos. Isn't that the nedunya? So it says, well, idividi parnasas atzma. They're both about the support they give her before she gets married. V'lo kasha ha b'achil v'shtia ha b'levusha v'kisuya. That when the brisa says nizonos, it means food and drink. When the brisa says umefarnasos, it means clothing. But all of it is before she gets married. And maybe enochinami, that once she gets married, then we start assessing whether the father was a stingy person or a generous person. And it's only before she gets married that we go based on people of equal, of an estate of equal size, what they would do for their daughters. So Tanan, so it says, okay, but I'll challenge Shmuel again from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, that sometimes a person's financial condition has changed over time, and now he would give more or he would give less. So what do? We assess the father's estate, and we give based on someone with that amount of money should give. We cannot assess him based on what he, based on his own past history. So my ani, my ashir. What does it mean that he was an ani and he became wealthy, or he was wealthy and he became poor? If it means what it sounds like it means, that he literally was poor and became rich, or vice versa. Wait, then how do you make any sense of the Tanakama? The guy was a billionaire and he made a certain type of chasana for his daughter with a certain type of nadunya and luxuba. And now he doesn't have two nickels, and you're going to say, oh, probably he would do for the second daughter the same way he would do for the first daughter. That doesn't make any sense that probably he would do for the, he couldn't. Haleslai. So that, it can't be that the Tanakama holds that way. So elulav, so what does it mean? Ani vashir, ani bedas. Ani means ani bedas. Asher means asher bedas. It means that his attitudes have changed toward the way that he spends money. Vikatani, and the Chum disagree and say that we do not assess based on the das of the father. Shamanas and the chasim vinosanla. We look at the estate, how much money there is, and we give based on what people of equal wealth would give. Alma laws in basarumtana. It sounds like we do not go based on what this man would have given. And therefore our Mishnah is against Shmuel, because the Chum and our Mishnah say we do not look at what this man would have given. We look at what someone with that amount of money ought to give, and that's what we take from the estate. So answer the Gemara, Huda Amar Rabbi Yehuda. It's not against Shmuel, because there's a machlokas in the Mishnah, and Shmuel holds like Rabbi Yehuda. It's not Rabbi Yehuda Amar. Shmuel holds like what Rabbi Yehuda said, that if he married off the first daughter, then you give to the same thing to the second daughter, because we see that's what he would have wanted to give. So what the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chum in the Mishnah is about is, do we look at what this man would have wanted to give, or do we look at what someone of this amount of wealth should be giving? And Shmuel passes like Rabbi Yehuda, that we look at what this man would have wanted to give. So ask the Gemara, if Shmuel is not really saying his own chiddush, he's just passing like Rabbi Yehuda, v'neima halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda. Why doesn't he just say that halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda? So he amar halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda, avamina dafke yisia t'gali daite. If he just would have said that halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda was very specific in the Mishnah. He said that if the guy had previously married off a daughter, so we know for sure exactly what he would put in the nedunya. We have the daughter's ksuba. We know exactly that, oh, it says, Meya Zakukim Kesef Tzarvah, so we know exactly what to give to the next daughter. But I would think that if we don't have a track record, he never married off a daughter, then we wouldn't be able to assess what he would have given. Avalohi, see, alo, if he never married off a daughter, then we can't make such an assessment. So Kamash Milan, that's what Shmuel is telling me, a chiddush, that time of the Rabbi Yehuda does not based on the fact that he had married off a daughter, it's based based on the fact that we're allowed to assess what this man would have given. So it doesn't matter whether he married off a daughter, it just makes it a little easier to make the assessment if he has married off a previous daughter. Why does he pick a case then in the Mishnah of Isiyah if the same halacha is true, even if he never married off a daughter? To tell you just how strong the Rabbanan are in their opinion. Even though the guy had a track record, and he was Megaladas, how much he would give. We don't look at what his behaviors were, or what his das would have been according to the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan hold, we look at what someone of his wealth should be giving, not what he in fact has been giving. But Rabbi Yehuda's sheet is, regardless of whether he married off a daughter or didn't marry off a daughter, Rabbi Yehuda says we have to look at what this man would have given, and Shmuel is just paskening like Rabbi Yehuda. So I'm like, Rav Chista Darshin and Mishimcha, Rav told Rav Chista, you know, I heard a drash in the Beis Medrash in your name, that Allah Rabbi Yehuda, that you paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. So I'm like, Yehi Rav Kol Kiyani Milimali Santidushu Mishmai. They should always say such nice things in my name, that I paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, 100% maskim. I paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, just like Shmuel paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, that we make an assessment based on what this man would have given. So ask the Gemara, really? Does Rava paskin like Rabbi Yehuda? Va'atanya, but don't we have a brisa? Rabbi Omer basanizonas mina achin. That if you have a yisoma that's not yet a bogeris, and she's being supported from the estate that the brothers have, no telus isur nechasim. When it comes time for her to get married, the nedunya should be 1/10 of the yerusha. Via Marava hilchasak Rabbi, and Rava says we paskin like Rabbi. So Rabbi holds that it's always 10%. Not that we assess what this man would have wanted to give. So how can they say? How can Rava say, oh, I'm so thrilled that you're saying that I pass like Rabbi Yehuda, that we assess the generosity of the deceased father? No, Rava paskin 10%. So it says, well, lo kasha, hada amdine, hada lo amdine. When Rava says that we pass like Rabbi Yehuda, that you assess the father, that's where we know the father, so we're able to assess what he would have given. When he says it's just 10%, that's where we don't have any knowledge of the father, his generosity or his stinginess, so we're ill-equipped to make such an assessment, so then we just go with 10%. And hachinami mistavra, that there's such a chilik, one time Rabbi gave a Yesoma as the Nedunya 1/12 of the father's estate. So Kashin Adadi, it's a steer in Rabbi, because Rabbi said you give Yisur Nechasim. How can you say you give 1/12? It must be the case of 1/12 was Rabbi knew that father and he knew he was a little stingy. So he knew that he would have given a little less. But in a regular case where you don't know the father, so then you have to go with 10%. Gufa, Amar Rebbe. Rebbe had said that Bas Anizonas Mina Achim, if a daughter is supported from the estate that the brothers have, Notelis Yisur Nechasim, she gets 10% of the estate for the Nedunya. So Amar Lo Rebbe, they said to Rebbe, wait, 10%? L'drachem Yishe Yesh Lo Eser Banos Uben Ein Lo Ben Makom Banos Klum. If a guy had 10 daughters and one son, so by the time you finish marrying off all 10 daughters, there's 0% of the estate left. Each of the daughters are taking 10% of the estate. The son's not going to get any Yerusha. So he says, no. Harishonu tells Yisur Nechasim. The first one gets 10%. Ushniya b'mashashira. The second one gets 10% of what's left. So if there's $100, the first one gets $10. The second one gets $9 because there's $90 left. And then the math gets hard. But 10% of what's left. Ushlish is b'mashashira. And then the third one, whatever's left, 10% of whatever's left. Cholkos b'shava. But it's not that the older daughters get more money or the daughters that get married first get more money. We do that cheshbon of how much would be gone if we keep doing 10% of the remainder, take the entire pot and split it into 10 even parts. That's what it means that they get 10%. So they're cholkos b'shava. So ask the Gemara on Rebbe, why do you say that after the first one takes Yisur and Nechasim, she has to go and divide it with her sisters evenly? Each one, when they took 10%, it was 10% of the estate, and they should be entitled to take at that 10% of what was there at that time. If they got married one after the other, then the first daughter would get 10, the second daughter would get 9, but if they all get married at the same time, so then all the money is being dispersed at the same time, so then we have to give evenly for all the daughters. This is a riot to Rav Masna, because Rav Masna taught that in Bo Linasi Kulam Ka'achas Notos Isur Echad, that if they all get married at the same time, they just get one payment of 10%. Isur Echad Salkadetik. They all have to split the same 10%? No, Elinotos Isur Ki Echad. No, it means that they all get at the same time, and therefore they all take the same, an even amount of money. They split the money evenly among them, but obviously it's going to end up being way more than 10%. So says the Brisa. Now, Tan Rabbanan, Habanos Bein Bagru Ad Shelo Nisu. If a girl became a Bogeris before she got married, Bein Nisu Ad Shelo Bagru, or she became married, she had Nisun before she became a Bogeris, Ibdu Mizonos Sehen. They don't get their Mizonos anymore because the obligation to provide Mizonos for daughters is only until the point of becoming a Bogeris or having Nisuin. Velo Ibdu Parnasasan, but they don't lose their right to an Adunya for when they get married. So even if they became a Bogeris first and then they're getting married later, they're still going to be entitled to their Parnasa. Divrei Rebbe, Rebbe Shimon Elazar Omer, Af Ibdu Parnasasan, that they even lose out on the Parnasa. They even lose out on their Nedunya. Because at the moment they became a Bogeris, they're no longer a member of the father's house. So if Nara got married, and even if she's not a Bogeris, but she was a Nara who had Nisuin, she lost out because she had agreed to a certain Nedunya at that time, so she's not allowed to come back later and say, oh, you didn't give me what you were supposed to. It was supposed to be 10%. I was 12 years old. I didn't realize that what you were giving me was really only 5%. Too late. Once she had Nisuin, it's too late. So, Ketzadeinosos, what should a girl do if she's about to become a Bogeres and she's not going to have a Nedunya? So, Sochus and Bailum, she better get married quick. So, pay somebody to marry her. Motzin and Parnasasin said that she can get the full Nedunya. So, I don't know if that's a recommendation nowadays, but that's if she, that's the way that she would be able to get the money. Amr of Nachum, normally Huna Hilchsak Rebbe, that we pass on like Rebbe that the Bogeres does not lose her Parnasa when she becomes a Bogeres, and if she had Nisun before she became a Bogeres, she can go and claim the full level of Nedunya. Says Rav Nachman, Rav challenges Rav Nachman. It says in the Mishnah Yisoma, Shehisi Ata Ima Oacha Midaita, a Yisoma who is married off by her mother or her brother willingly, Vikosvula B'meo B'chamishim Zuz, and it's said in our Mishnah, and they put 50 Zuz or 100 Zuz as the amount in the of the Nedunya, which is less than it should have been. Yechali Mishitag. When she gets older, she could say, hey, wait a second, I was supposed to get more. So Taima de Katana, sounds like the only reason she's able to say that was because when she got married, she was still a Katana who didn't have the right to be Mochela. She was not a Bas Das. But her Gedola, but if she was already a Gedola at the time of the Nisuin, even if she wasn't a Bogeres, she was only an Ara, well then Vitra, then we assume that she was Mochelas, and she cannot go and claim the money back. So that's a Kasher Rav Nachman, who paskened like Rebbe, that even a Bogeres does not lose the Parnasa. So the Tana in our Mishnah seems to assume only a Katana doesn't lose it, but a Bogeris would. So says Malo Kasha, Hadamachai, Hadalamachai. When Rebbe says that a Bogeris who gets married does not lose the Parnasa and she's able to be Toveya, that's talking about where she made a Macha before she got married and she said, by the way, I'm not Mochelas on this, I'm coming back for it. And when the Mishnah says that a Naru who gets married does lose the Parnasa, that's when she was Mochelas at that time. And Hachinami Mistavr, it's most Mistavr to make that Chilik Dim Kain, Kasha Rebbe had the Rebbe, because otherwise we'd have a steer in Rebbe. Titania, Rebbe Omer Basa Nizonos Menachin, no tell us Isur Nechasim, that a daughter is being supported by the brothers, gets 10% of the estate for her Nedunya. Nizonos in, sounds like if it's only if she's still not a Bogeres, she's still a Katana or an Ara, so she's still being supported. That's when she gets Isur Nechasim. But she ain't a Nizonos, but if she's already a Bogeres who's no longer getting the Mizonos from the brothers, lo, then she loses out on the Isur Nechasim. So you see from Rebbe that a Bogeris does not get Isur Nechasim. And yet in the Brisa, Rebbe said that a Bogeris does get Isur Nechasim. Elav, Shemamina, something's got to give. There must be some distinction. Hadamachai, Hadalamachai. The distinction must be. Did she make a macha at that point and say, I'm coming back for the rest of the money? Or did she not? Was she totally mekabel? So Shemamina, so it must be that that chilik is miyashiv, the stira in Rebbe. So Amalei Ravina Rava, Amalei Ravad Barav Mishmech, Bagra Inetzricha Limchas, that if she became a Bogeris, she does not need to make a macha in order to later receive the Isur Nechasim. Even without a macha, she could receive it. Niseis Inetzricha Limchas, and if when she was a Nara, she had Nisumun, also she doesn't have to make a statement. She can always come back later and get it. But Bagra Viniseis, but if both happened, she became a Bogeris and she had Nisumun, and they gave her less than Isur Nechasim, nechasim, tzricha limchas. If she wants to be able to come back and get the yisur nechasim, then she needs to make a macha in a timely fashion. Miyam Rava Hachi, does Rava really say such a thing? That a nara that was nises does not need to make a macha? Va'esvei Rava Lerav Nachman, Rava asked, challenged Rav Nachman on that which Rav Nachman paskin nim Rav Huna like Rebbe, that a nara shenises doesn't lose her parnasa. So he says Yisoma, and he asked him about a Yisoma Katana that gets married that doesn't lose the parnasa v'shanilei, and he answered hadamachi hadalamachi, that there's a difference whether there was a macha, whether she made a macha or not. And Rava accepted that answer that Rav Nachman gave him. So apparently he accepts that chilik. So how can Rava say that a nara that's nises and didn't make a macha does not lose the parnasa? Rava himself was maskim. Failure to make a macha means you lose the parnasa. So says Malokasha, hada kamitazna minayu, hada lo kamitazna minayu. When Rava says that a nara that did not make a macha does not lose the parnasa, is talking about where after she gets married, she's still getting mizonos from the brothers. So she's embarrassed to make a macha. They're continuing to support her. So that's why she didn't make a macha in that case. Whereas when Rava is maskim to the Mishnah, that a nara that's nises and didn't make a macha loses the parnasa, that's the lo kamitaz minayu. That's she's not continuing to be supported by them, so she really should have made a macha, and failure to make a macha means that she's going to lose the parnasa. Okay, fell a little behind, but from tomorrow we'll pick up at Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rebbe. Have a great day.